Boston wins it tonight 10-1 to even the series at a game apiece as we swing it over to Mike for the rest of the night.
Thank you, Jerry and Dirk, and we will see you gentlemen tomorrow night. We hope it will be a better night as far as the Toronto Blue Jays were concerned. Tonight, not so much. They lose 10-1 to the Boston Red Sox, and that means that in the three games that the Blue Jays have had following their big emotional wins, they've had three big emotional wins this year. They came back from 6-1 down to beat the Detroit Tigers 8-6 back on April 10th. On April 24th, they took down the Baltimore Orioles 6-5 in 11 innings. Rajay Davis throwing out the potential winning run at the plate in the bottom of the 10th. And last night, that great 9-7 win over the Boston Red Sox. In the three games that followed, the Blue Jays have lost by a combined score of 24-5. Still looking for just their second two-game win streak of the season. We will not be Blue Jays talking it up tonight, not because the Blue Jays got throttled. That's the coward's way out. The truth is we just don't have the phone lines available because they're being used back at our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, by the Maple Leafs post-game show, and that's no more pleasant than this one would have been as the Leafs lose 4-1 to the Boston Bruins in the opener of their series. So, I've called an audible with the help of Tom Young, and we have convinced Ben Wagner, the voice of the Buffalo Bisons, to join us and talk about the best team outside of Indianapolis in the International League. So we're going to do a little bit of Buffalo Bisons talk. Ben, thanks so much for sticking around.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
It is a pleasure to have you, and it's a pleasure to have you guys as part of the Blue Jays family. I can't, you know, even though I'm here all the time, obviously it's tough to have days off covering a big league team, just as it is tough to have days off covering a Triple A team. And so I certainly applaud you, and even more so your lovely wife, for coming here to a baseball game on your day off.
She's the one that gets the gold star.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
No question about that. But having the Blue Jays Triple A team right down the street is just so fantastic for Blue Jays fans, for people in Toronto, and for people in Buffalo, I guess, too. I mean, you had the Mets the last 4 years, but that's still a six-hour drive, at least, from Buffalo. And it's nothing to hop across the border and watch the big league team eventually when some of your guys start to graduate, as opposed to the, you know, one-and-done DFAs at the back of the bullpens that we've seen so far. It really is cool to have you guys so close.
Well, I think it's really cool, too, and we saw it, the impact of that very early on is opening day arrived in Buffalo on April the 4th. 16,000 people show up for opening day. There were a ton of R.A. Dickey uniforms, Brett Lowry jerseys. You saw a lot of Blue Jay fans coming across the border. We saw a lot of Blue Jay fans in Western New York making an appearance at Coca-Cola Field, too. So there was a quick acceptance from Blue Jay fans and an arrival at the gate, too, in downtown Buffalo. And I know Bison fans that have come up. In fact, our booster club has already taken two busloads full of Blue Jay / Bison fans now to get closer, to get a feel of the Rogers Center and what's going on here so they can continue to develop those relationships as well with the players, yes, first and foremost, but also the fact that they're trying to grow the fan base in the booster club, too. So they're making the effort to come up the 90-minute drive.
Which is fantastic. He's Ben Wagner, the voice of the Buffalo Bisons, the Blue Jays AAA affiliate, off to a 17-7 start this year. You were in here in the third inning talking to Jerry about this team and how well things have gone. I want you to take me back to that 27-9 game against Syracuse. And first of all, that must have been so much fun to call, never mind, you know, what the Bisons did.
It got wild. I'll be honest. A game like that just gets out of hand, usually at one point, very quickly. And for that game, it had to wait. It didn't all happen very early. Both starters really didn't have the best stuff, kind of slogged through the first couple of innings. The first two innings took just about 1 hour in total length. So as the game progressed, you never saw a position player out on the mound, even from Syracuse's side, which is somewhat of a surprise.
Right.
But you get to the seventh inning when anything that went over the plate got tattooed. And I mean rocked. To do that, to score 27 runs on 29 hits, your scorecard becomes a mess. then you start to think about all the milestones that are starting to crumble. The runs, the hits, the individual performances. Moises Seira has a six-hit day. Twice he gets to the plate with an opportunity to hit for the cycle. He'd got the hard stuff out of the way, needed the home run. And you could tell, and he would admit to me later on, he said, listen, I knew exactly where we were in the game and what was going on. These guys were trying to throw strikes. Seira goes up there in his fifth at-bat, thinking home run. He gets the single. He goes up for the second at-bat. He gets a single. He has a six-hit performance day. Since 1938, he becomes one of three individuals in Buffalo baseball history to collect six hits in a ballgame. Cool in its own right.
Yep.
Then you've got Jim Nagrich.
Right.
In the leadoff spot that day, he hits for the cycle. The home run was the final piece, and he got it to right center field, pulled the ball right over the right center field wall. He hits for the cycle. That's great, and he's going to get two more at-bats before the ball game's over. Ryan Langer hands. He hits two home runs in the same game. He hits the plate five times as well. Not done yet. Then Luis Jimenez drives in eight. Eight ribbies, becomes one within a mark of the Bison's record for RBI in a game. That could have been nine. So records just, I mean, left and right, they're falling all over the place. And we played a day game, luckily enough, Brad Bisping back in our office using the wonderment of the internet and so on and so forth. We're texting back and forth. We're posting all these milestones as they happen. And we're trying to keep track as well. The league office gets involved. And once you get into that 23, 25 run range, you really start to raise some eyebrows in the league office.
Sure.
And they're digging through the record books. They went back as far as 40 years from today. And they have yet to find a game that had that many runs and that many hits in it. So you talk about setting some records and doing it all in one game. That's one for the ages. And I've never been a part of anything like that.
That was an amazing day. And we were kind of half watching it here. As we got to the ballpark, they'd already gotten to 20 and watching it pile up. And at that point in time, and I don't remember the date of the game. I don't know if you do off the top of your head. But at that point, hit me with it.
It's the 17th, yeah.
17th. At that point in time, so on April 17th, the Blue Jays were about to play their 15th game of the year, and the Bison scored half as many runs in that game as the Jays had all season.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was an explosion. Now, Buffalo had a little bit of a lull there, I think, over the course of 30 innings or something. In that three-game losing patch, they had scored like five runs. So an explosion like that was great, and it felt good at the same time. Little did we know that would continue the good times rolling, because in that series, that was the final win to sweep four games. They had also swept a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to Lehigh Valley, win the opener.
The Iron Pigs?
The Iron Pigs, nicely done. That's one word, capital P. The Iron Pigs, on a rainout as well, would get swept in the twin bill. Buffalo then now has swept two doubleheaders in the same road trip. And they would go on to take all four games in Lehigh Valley as well. So you go 8-0 on a road trip. You're scoring the runs. I mean, there were good times at Ridgemont High happening.
No kidding.
You know, so it was a road trip unlike any other. The individual performance, unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just kind of now digesting it in what had happened. And the guys, I don't think, have let it sink in as well. Because they're appreciating the clubhouse chemistry that's there, the way that the team is performing first and foremost. They're winning. And to do it in record-setting performance like the month of April, winning 17 games, which 15 had been the high-water mark from 85 when Buffalo got AAA baseball back. That's deemed the modern era.
Okay.
So when the modern era begins, it's 1985. And it's happened four times. And now you've done that plus two, which is cool in its own right.
Which is amazing because, you know, the Blue Jays, and I was there in December when Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston were there, and there was the luncheon that you hosted, and did a fine job, of course.
Thank you, Mike.
And the thing that Beeston and Alex were saying, it's important to the Rich family, it's important to the people in Buffalo that we put a winner on the field. That's why they went out and got Mauro Gomez. That's why Justin Germano signed, who was a pitcher of the year in the International League last season, and you know, guys like Andy LaRoche and Ryan Langerhans, these major league veterans who were there, have been signed by the Blue Jays to go play in Buffalo. And how great is it that it's actually happening right now on the field? How long have the Bison's fan base been starving for a winning team?
Well, I'm going to take you back to 2005. And that was the last season when Marty Brown had been the manager on the heels of an Isle Governor's Cup champion. That's the league championship trophy, the Governor's Cup. That's what everybody plays for in the International League. In 2005, in Indianapolis, Ronnie Polino hit a late-inning home run, and it really deflated the Bisons. They came back to Buffalo. They were up two games to none. Yes.
Wow. All right.
Yep. You need to win one game coming back to Buffalo. The fan support had been great all the way through the playoffs. The Bisons felt like they were in a good position. Ronnie Polino has stuck in the crawl of Marty Brown ever since 2005, and the Bison fans, too.
Did he ever play for the Bisons when they were the Mets affiliate?
They did. He made a rehab appearance. He did not play as a Bison, but he played as a part of the rehab process, came through. And don't think for a moment our general manager didn't remind Ronnie Polino. He said, hey, the last time you were in this ballpark, I watched you tuck one down the line, and you sank the postseason hopes of the Buffalo Bisons. And that's the way that it ended. So long story short, the Bison fans have been waiting for a winner for a long time. And 2006, 2007, never really had playoff-caliber teams late down the stretch. In the hunt, yeah. 2008, never really part of the conversation. 2009, new affiliation with the New York Mets. A lot of positive PR coming around that. 2010 was by far and away the best put-together team that the Bisons had fielded in the previous 4 years, but never really got it together much past June. Big-time injuries at the major league level led to a lot of call-ups. The Bisons lost their own guys via injury as well and removed themselves from the race by Independence Day, really.
For people listening on this side of the border, that's July 4th.
Yes, sorry. Yes, clarification, yes.
Hey, you
that's July 4th.
Got to get used to working in Canada. This is Ben Wagner is with us, the voice of the Buffalo Bisons, and we only have another minute with you. We have to get to the John Gibbons post-game stuff. But I want to ask you, do you guys hate the parent club for, like, grabbing all the good players and stuff? I mean, they haven't picked on Anthony Gose and Jim Negrich and any of the position players, but almost all, well, almost all. Plenty of your starting pitchers have made little appearances up here.
Right. Are we mad about it? Absolutely not. Buffalo fans, Buffalo front office people, we understand. This is the mindset. Insurance policies play in Buffalo. That's part of it. But I also think it's good to have a little bit of movement as well so fans have that immediate connection coming to Toronto. And now you have a reason. Seeing a guy play every day, seeing a guy make a couple of appearances, maybe a performance or an autograph ends up in your lap as well. Mm-hmm. You have that connection now directly to Toronto.
And that is a really cool aspect of the whole thing. And hopefully there will be Blue Jays fans heading to Buffalo, Bisons fans coming to Toronto, and it'll be a wonderful relationship for a long, long time. Great of you to come here on your off day. Thanks so much. I'm going to try my best to find an off day to get down to Buffalo to see a game. I love that ballpark down there, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to reconnect with some of the guys from spring training.
Well, anytime. Open door policy from our end to you as well. Bison baseball at home, downtown Buffalo, starting on Thursday night, 8-game homestand, and a long homestand at the end of the month of May as well.
Cross at the Peace Bridge, exit 5, takes no time at all.
5 minutes. Once you're through the border, yep. 5 minutes. You're in the parking lot.
Beautiful thing. Ben, thanks a lot for this.
Thank you, Mike.
Sorry you had to watch this tonight.
Better days ahead, Mike.
One can only hope. Blue Jays fall to the Boston Red Sox 10-1. We will hear from the skipper as the Honda postgame show continues on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays fall 10-1 to the Boston Red Sox. So let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say.
Tough go for Burley. What are you seeing in him that is he's not, you know, really being as crisp as he's been in the past?
Well, you know, I mean, he really kept us in the game, you know, but Buckles just never gave us anything to do with, you know. I mean, he gave up the home runs were the difference there. But the game was still manageable going into the seventh inning, you know, then it exploded on us. But, you know, we just really couldn't get anything going on Buckles. I mean, that's basically what happened. And, you know, he's been maybe the hottest pitcher in this, you know, the month of April. I think him and the Matt Moore kid down in Tampa. So, we had one hit till what? I mean, late in the game, so we couldn't get anything going. But, you know, the home run ball bit him, no question. But, you know, it's a home run hit in park. You know, I've said before, our whole division's that way. You know, that's – but still, you got to score.
John, there isn't a big difference in Burley's velocity this year to last year. For him, do you think the issue is more location?
Well, I mean, that's his game. I mean, and that's – you know, I mean, it's been – probably inconsistent for him. I mean, he'll get that. He always has. He'll tighten that up. But that's the way he pitches. That's key for him, you know. So when there's times, you know, he made a couple mistakes and they, you know, they hit him out of the ballpark, and then really we didn't get anything going, you know, to stay in the game. But like I said, it was still manageable. I mean, we're still within striking distance going into the seventh inning. And then, you know, it exploded, and then, you know, then it was out of hand.
I know it was 8-0 at the time, but how frustrating is it when you see one of your guys get a base hit and then try to turn it into two when really there was no chance for him to do that there?
Well, I mean, you're a good baseball man. You probably don't need me to describe that. I wouldn't think. You know, you saw it, so that's my answer.
That's a good answer. John Gibbons saying exactly what he needs to say there about Melky Cabrera trying to stretch a double, trying to get to second on a ball off the right field wall, even though the bases are only 90 feet apart. Melky thrown out by 110 feet at second base right there. No idea why he would try to do that when base runners are at such a premium, with the Blue Jays having 7 outs left to overcome what at the time was an 8-run deficit. 10-1 was your final score, Blue Jays and Boston Red Sox. Let's take a quick look at the scoreboard, see what else is going on around and about the major leagues of baseball. And in the American League, we've got the Tampa Bay Rays trailing the Kansas City Royals 7-6 as they play in the bottom of the sixth. White Sox lead Texas 5-2 in the bottom of the eighth. Orioles down 1-0 to the Seattle Mariners, bottom of the first. Wei-Yin Chen's consecutive scoreless inning streak snapped at 13. Earlier, the New York Yankees, a 5-4 win over the Houston Astros. Ben Francisco hitting his first home run as a Yankee. The Yanks then have picked up Chris Nelson, the former Colorado Rocky third baseman. They get him in a trade for cash, and Francisco Cervelli goes on the 60-day DL with that broken hand. The Angels beat the A's 5-4, Minnesota over Detroit 6-2. Right now in the National League, the Cubs lead the Padres 6-1. That's in the top of the eighth. Arizona over San Francisco 3-1, bottom of the third. Top of the first, Rockies still batting with a 3-0 lead over the Dodgers. Earlier, it was Washington over the Braves 2-0. St. Louis beat Cincinnati 4-2. Pirates take down the Brewers 6-4. Brian Morris, his first major league win. Mets over Miami 7-6. And in interleague play, the Cleveland Indians took down the Philadelphia Phillies by a final score of 6-0. Blue Jays lose 10-1. Series wraps with a rubber game tomorrow. We're on at 7 Eastern. Jay Happ against Ryan Dempster. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Dirk Hayhurst, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, Joe Sicilia, and our special guest Ben Wagner, I'm Mike Wilner. See you tomorrow.